When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. The words of poet laureate Amanda Gorman at this week's presidential inauguration. Good morning and welcome to First Unitarian Church. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm joined this morning by our associate minister, Bob LaValle, by music director, Susan Peck, and lay leader, Kristen Satterley. Our DJ is Arnie Gullerud, and he and all of our volunteer tech team are supported by technical arts director, Chris Paul. And we're all so glad to be here with you this morning. Welcome new visitors and welcome old friends. May this hour together be a blessing. May it nourish our spirits and help us to grow in joy and courage for all that is the sacred work of our lives. As we begin, Kristen has an announcement to share.
Good morning. There's a budget town hall today, right after the service at 12:30. Join our church treasurer and interim director of finance and operations for a chance to ask your budget questions and delve into the details. And this is a good time to do that because our annual meeting is next Sunday. Members in good standing will elect our church leaders, vote on our budget for this year, hear reports from our president and committee leaders, and vote for this year's Change for the Future recipients. Annual meeting packets were sent out last week by email. If you didn't receive one and would like to, please contact the church office. The meeting takes place at 2 p.m. next Sunday, January 31st, but we encourage you to log in at 1 p.m. so you can hear about the 7 nonprofit organizations nominated for this year's Change for the Future so you can be an educated voter. The meeting link for this information session and the annual meeting is the same link that you use for these Sunday services. We hope to see you there.
So that's a budget town hall today, and the link for that was just put into the chat box, and then next week it's the annual meeting. Before we light our chalices and candles, there's something else I'd like to say. Earlier this month, we marked Susan Peck's 5th anniversary at First Unitarian, and I shared at the time how much she has really helped to grow our sense of community and connection. Under her leadership, our whole music program has grown and the choir has tripled in size. When we had to take church online last year, Susan went all in, keeping us singing together even when we are apart. So for her anniversary this month, the choir and the band have organized themselves to sing her a special song dedicated just to her, and she doesn't know about it. Here it is.
Here, Susan Peck's choir, singing to the stars.
That's just so sweet. I did the math real quick, and Susan's been collaborating on every Sunday service since she started 5 years ago. That's over 260 Sunday services. We could not do it without you, Susan, and I hope you feel as loved and appreciated as you are. Will you all join me in the lighting of chalices and candles now? We kindle these flames for the light of love in this community, for the light of hope and courage in this new year, and for the light of tomorrow, which we carry with us even today.
Oh my, how am I supposed to lead a hymn now? I'm all teary-eyed. Thank you so much to the choir and the band and everyone who worked on that. That's one of my all-time favorite songs that we've ever played in church. So thank you. And will you please join me in singing our opening hymn in honor of today's theme of birth and mothers and giving birth. One of our favorite hymns to the goddess in all of her aspects. Lady of the Season's Laughter. The words are in the chat bar. Let me make sure I got them in there. The words are in the chat bar, so please join me in singing. Lady of the Season's Laughter, in the summer's warmth beneath, when the winter follows after, teach our spirits not to fear. Hold us in your steady mercy, Lady of the Turning Year. Sister of the evening starlight, in the falling shadows stay, here among us till the firelight of tomorrow's dawning day. Hold us in your steady mercy, Lady of the Turning Day. Mother of the generations, in whose love all life is worth, everlasting celebrations bring our labors safe to birth. Hold us in your steady mercy, Lady of the Turning Earth. Goddess of all time's progression, stand with us when we engage, hands and hearts to end oppression, writing history's fairer page. Hold us in your steady mercy, Lady of the Turning Age.
Hi, I'm Rowan, and this is my dog Lorelai. And could you please join me in the children's affirmation? We are Unitarians, Universalists, people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm a seahorse. I live in a coral reef, and I eat little tiny shrimp and little tiny fish. And you know what? I'm a male seahorse, and I'm pregnant. Yep. For seahorses, it works differently than humans. See, when I first met my girlfriend, Laverne, we hit it off right away. When we first met each other, we danced around each other and fluttered our fins. And we did this for a whole couple of days before we decided to have babies. Such a romantic story. So I have a pouch in my belly, like a kangaroo's has a pouch in their belly. So Laverne put her eggs in my pouch and they got fertilized there. And now it's my job to carry the eggs until they turn into little seahorses. So it takes about 20 days for them to grow eyes and fins and our really excellent noses. When it's time for them to be born, I'll open a hole in my pouch and shoot all the baby seahorses out. You know, when the other seahorses see that I'm pregnant, they ask me if it's a boy or a girl seahorse. You know, well, actually, I have like 1,000 seahorses in my belly. So when they ask if it's a boy or a girl, I just say, yes. I'll tell you what, though, it's rough being a baby seahorse. Unlike humans, after I give birth to the baby seahorses, they are on their own. I don't feed them. I don't protect them. They just have to figure it out on their own. Like I said, it's not easy being a baby seahorse. Meanwhile, I'm going to go find Laverne. I miss her. Anyways, nice talking to you. Have a nice day and wish my babies good luck.
Who was that guy? Let's pause the chat during the meditation and prayer in order to bring our hearts closer together. We're going to move into a time of meditation and contemplation. So find a comfortable seat. Let your hands be soft. Let's take a couple of deep breaths. Just as we are born into life from our mother's wombs, we're constantly being reborn into new people with new insights, new disappointments, new understandings, and new hopes. That birthing process can be painful, but it is essential. We must constantly evolve or risk not living into our possibilities. We can foster our new births by paying attention, by listening very quietly to that voice that's inside us, the voice that gently insists on sharing what we need to know, but that can only be heard when we are still. We must get quiet and wait for those messages. And that spirit will sit in silence for 2 minutes.
Joy and worry, gratitude and sorrow wind through each of our lives. Here in this shared space, in this beloved community, we are buoyed by each other's gladness and help to bear each other's burdens. When the music begins, share your joys and then your concerns in the chat bar for us to hold together. If you cannot write in the chat bar today, we still want to know what's going on with you. Please contact us at caring@uuabq.org. Now, let us share together what is on our hearts.
When we lift up our joys and concerns, we journey together and we see so many joys, or job offers and calls with siblings, the vaccine, the possibility of rain, serious joy for Susan's ministry of music, such a gift. and for small things like cats not hiding and enjoying our dogs and just the general sense of hope that might be a little more close, almost close enough to feel these days. And the concerns and griefs that we carry. We remember Mia Noren as she mourns her friend Jack McNamara, who passed this week. We consider businesses that are closing and mental health struggles and the outfall of a very tumultuous 4 years. And we know we have a lot of work to do. We acknowledge all these prayers, plus the prayers held in our hearts unspoken, but no less deeply felt. All these we lift up to the great powers of celebration, healing, and renewal, known by many names. And we mourn with Winona Featherulf on the passing of her father, George. May she and her family find comfort in their memories and the knowledge that they are held by this congregation. And may light perpetual shine upon George. We celebrate our congregant Mimi Stewart's election as President Pro Tem of the New Mexico Senate. May Senator Stewart's work on behalf of the common good be healthy in process and fruitful in outcome. We lift up our prayers for all those who are struggling with illness, be it mental or physical, emotional or spiritual. May they find healing and comfort. And we remember all those who care for the sick and disabled, either in their homes or as a vocation. May they enjoy the support of their communities. And may they know that through the work of their hands and their hearts and their minds, they bring love into the world. We remember those struggling for security, financial security or housing security or food security. May they know that their value as people has nothing to do with dollars and cents. We pray for strength and protection for those in abusive relationships. May they find freedom. This morning, we give thanks for this Unitarian Universalist congregation. As we journey together, may the love that we share return to us 100-fold. Together, we celebrate changes and growth, the possibilities of learning and laughter and care. May we see what's beautiful and holy in our neighborhoods. May we see what's beautiful and holy in each other. May we see what's beautiful and holy in ourselves. And may we all be held in the heart of love. Peace be with you.
And also with you. Our interlude this morning is actually a song that was written for Christmas by longtime UU troubadour Jim Scott. It's called All Around the Child, and it's really the celebration of every child, the holiness of every child. I've put the words in the order in the chat bar if you'd like to sing along with me, or just listen to this wonderful story of birth and motherhood and babies. Adjust my sheet so I can see my chords. Ancient story lived again, dark of longest night, birth of innocence and hope kindles our delight. I'll celebrate the labor's end, forth in laughter, tears. Light of love and joy extend all around the child. New life, fragile yet complete, life from love on
once more. Universal miracle, faith in life restore. The harmony of all the world lulls the newborn child to rest. Welcome, dreamer, safely sleep. Wonder never cease, nature's greatest art. Birth and breath of life again warms the coldest heart. Now rich and simple gifts bestowed, sacred promises well made, reverence and hope renewed all around the babe. Vision for humanity all around the child. Loving as one family all around the child. Life passages well understood, known and felt around the earth. Rich or poor, we each are blessed by the miracle of birth.
Our reading is called Living It Up. It is from the meditation manual, Reaching for the Sun, written by Angela. They take advantage of us, he said. I worked 40 years in a factory, paid taxes, followed the law. Why should they be living it up on welfare, food stamps? I thought of the woman with the thick, dark hair and the 9 months pregnant belly. No voy al hospital, she said. I'm not going to the hospital. Undocumented. Uninsured. I translated for the midwives, but there wasn't much to say. She labored quietly on the bedspread, biting down on a rag. As the baby crowned, I noticed mold growing up the wall, spreading out from the window, moist and dark and poisonous. The curtains sagged around it and rested on the matted brown carpet. She wouldn't report it to the landlord. Didn't want to make any trouble. Lo hiciste, I told her when he was born. You had your baby. But she greeted him solemnly. He gazed at her with shining eyes, face made for his mother's milk. Living it up? The factory worker had some other image in mind, I guess. I don't blame him. They were the most invisible people I had ever met.
The last several years, the ministers of this church have donated a sermon topic to the Social Justice Auction. That's the biggest fundraiser our Social Justice Council puts on. And of course, this year it was more of a challenge than usual. They couldn't hold their usual chili cook-off and dance, as we like to do. But I'm really proud of the council. They got creative and they held a really successful auction on Facebook with one rowdy night on Zoom, and that's where the sermons were auctioned off. I was surprised this year when a group of bidders pooled their money together and won for the topic spirituality and birth, something I've never preached on directly before. And to my delight, they also asked if I would invite my daughter Olivia to join me in the pulpit, the virtual pulpit, which I did. And she said yes. So come on up, Olivia. Hi, babe.
Hi, Mama.
Thank you for saying yes today.
How can I not? It's so special to share this time with you and everybody here at First UU.
I think the last time we shared the pulpit was on Mother's Day 10 years ago when you were just a freshman in high school.
I think that's true. That feels like a whole lifetime ago. In a lot of ways, we've actually kind of come full circle from a Mother's Day sermon to a message about spirituality and birth.
We have. And your life has really changed a lot since then. We're going to get into that in just a second. But before we do, let's answer the burning question that I know is on everybody's mind. Is Olivia the owl named after you?
No, no, she is not. I believe that Olivia is actually several years older than I am.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I was actually a freshman in high school when that Olivia was born or hatched or whatever. So, all right, well, I thought that rather than prepare a formal two-part sermon or something like that, it might be more interesting today for us to just structure this like a conversation, like we're interviewing each other about this interesting topic. So first of all, there is a reason folks asked me to invite you into the pulpit today and not like your dad or your brother. So would you say more about that, about what you do?
Yeah, so after years of thinking and reflecting and manifesting, I have the incredible privilege of witnessing and being a part of birth. I'm actually a nurse and a birth assistant at Dara Luz Birth Center, which is a nonprofit birth center nestled in the North Valley, and it's run by the wisest and most intuitive midwives. I actually have been dreaming of working there since I first got into nursing and got to know Dara Luz. And when I heard that they were hiring, I submitted an application. The universe is kind of drawing me in and telling me to leap, and I was elated when they offered me the position. A lot of babies like to be born in the early morning, and 3 a.m. phone calls from the birth center still send electricity through my bones, and it's just such an incredible privilege. The women that I get to work with are incredible humans, and they breathe light and love into the birth center and the people that they serve.
What made you want to work with birth?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of things have made me kind of geared into going somewhere in the birth sphere, but I think it definitely started when Mauricio was born. I was just 3 years old, but watching you bring him earthside left me in awe of your wisdom and power. And since then, I've pretty much been mesmerized by birth and birthing people.
I remember that you were really paying attention the entire time. My labor started at dinner time, and he was going to be born at home. And so we tried all night to get you to go to sleep for a little while, but you refused. Like, you stayed awake the entire night all the way until he was born the next day, and you were only three.
Yep. I remember making a pretty conscious decision about that, actually, and it's one of my earliest memories. I remember being put in the car by your doula, Pam, and going for a drive, and her trying to get me to go to sleep, but I remember having a complete opposite plan, and I was like, I will scream and cry until she has to take me back, and she did, because I was a determined little thing, and I just knew I didn't want to miss a single minute, and I knew that I wanted to be there for when my very best friend was born.
I love the phrase you used a second ago, bringing him earthside. And the name of the birth center where you work is also an interesting phrase about birth. Can you tell us about the name?
Yeah, dar a luz or dar a luz is a phrase that in Spanish means to give birth. It directly translates to give light or bring to light, which I think is just a really beautiful way of describing birth.
It sounds like a creation story. Like, I think of the first lines in the book of Genesis in the Hebrew Bible, which say, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. Mm. When I think of spirituality and birth, though, the first thing I notice about this topic is its relative absence, actually. I mean, you can find books that are for expectant parents that incorporate spirituality. But when I turn to my usual religion and spirituality books, there's really almost nothing in there about birth. And when birth is mentioned, it's usually a passing thing, like in a story that's about something else. And then I read a lot of literature and poetry for my sermon preparation as well. You hardly ever see it in there. You don't really see it depicted in art. And once you start to think about it, it seems really strange that such a huge thing is so absent.
Yeah, not everyone will give birth, but every person who has ever lived was born.
Right. So what gives? Why do you think there's this conspicuous absence?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons, but My opinion is that I think sometimes it's too raw for a lot of people. I think when you get to witness birth, you're pulled onto the edge of life and death and drawn right into a powerful and spiritual place. That being in the human body can make that feeling really hard to process. And I think it can leave you really breathless and changed. And birth has a way of shattering and rebuilding. But we do all have one thing in common, which is being born. And the world pauses if only for one moment because you were born. And the rest of our lives will look really different, but our being born is not so different.
In a way, like at its essence, birth is a great equalizer in the same way that death is.
Yeah, it is in the sense that we all go through being born, yet the differences that will show up in the rest of our lives are already really present. While thinking about what I wanted to say today, I thought I would just try Googling, why isn't birth depicted? And immediately it gave me 10 horrifying news articles, which I kind of anticipated, because our relationship with birth in this country often involves fear. Think about the way that movies or shows portray it, often very medical. There's a lot of screaming, often male doctors in these images. And some of the fear talked about is really warranted, like the racial and ethnic disparities of care. I bet a lot of people today didn't know that Black, American Indian, and Alaska Native women are 2 to 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. That's a fact from the CDC. And the reasons that these women die are often preventable, but are missed or blatantly ignored, and that's because of racism.
The reading that Kristen shared just before we started the sermon part was about the right to health for birthing women. It's about a birth that I attended as a translator for a woman who was afraid to go to the hospital to have her baby because the hospital had threatened to start reporting undocumented women. And so she luckily found a couple of wonderful midwives to help her. But the impact of poverty and racism on this woman's health and her babies was just still right there in the room where he was born. She could not escape it.
Yeah, I mean, in that poem, it was literally growing up the wall. And we as healthcare workers need to do better because everybody deserves a really valid healthcare experience and a just and empowering birth. And so I would actually like to apologize for the ways that medicine and maybe birth have caused grief or trauma for any listeners today. Know that I'm here to learn and to do better by you. Of course, science and modern medicine have changed birth in some really positive ways as well, but at the core, birth is just part of our natural lives. I actually remember seeing a Judy Chicago painting for the first time in nursing school. And if you haven't had the opportunity to see her artwork, I invite you to take a look. I was struck by Judy's ability to capture the feeling of life and death, of suffering and joy and sorrow, all in one piece of art. It was all exactly what I had seen in real life, and it took you to the edge and showed you just how strong but fragile life is.
Your experience with that piece of art in your class led us to go and see a Judy Chicago exhibit at a museum up in Taos. And then I came back and I preached a sermon about awe on a Sunday where I told people all about it. But for those who don't know, would you just say a little bit more about who Judy Chicago is?
Yeah. Judy Chicago is actually a feminist artist who has been gracing us with detailed and intricate art and literature for about half a century now. So she's been around doing this amazing stuff. And although she never gave birth to her own children, she gave life to art that centered birth. And that was not often done in the male-dominated Western art scene. So she uses a lot of really cool, amazing mediums like fabric and yarn and some canvas too.
She was somebody who noticed back in the 1980s that birth was conspicuously absent from most art. And she spent 5 years creating what ended up being called the Birth Project, like a whole bunch of pieces. And our visit to her exhibit was one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I've had in recent memory. And in particular, I was really struck by the largest piece. You remember which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was the one made from women all across the US that came together and just so lovingly crafted this really amazing piece.
It was 7 feet tall and 18 feet wide, so similar in size to the mural that's in our sanctuary here in Albuquerque. But instead of being made out of wood or paint, this huge piece is crocheted in the style of lace.
And instead of traditional lace patterns, the giant crocheted panel done all in black depicts birth, and it portrays it like a river coursing through a huge female form, and she fills up the whole panel with fingers and toes that turn into rays, and creation energy just moves toward, through, and from her.
It's an amazing piece, and I considered sharing an image of it in this service today, but because I know, you know, that we're not accustomed to seeing birth depicted, and because this piece is just so powerful, it can really stir up a lot of intense feelings for folks. And so what I'm going to do instead is actually just put a link to it in the chat box in a second, and people can click on it now if you'd like, or you can save it for later or not click on it as you wish. And so everyone can experience it at their own pace. So here's a link.
Yeah, that piece actually just moved me to tears as I took it in, because it just took up so much space for one, and just really captured the strength and resilience of women and birthing people and its resemblance to our own fierce and strong Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. I think another reason birth is so absent from Western art and literature is that it's hard to square with the patriarchy, right? Like, how can men rule over everything if they're confronted with their original vulnerability and the immense power of a birth mother?
Mm-hmm.
In church, we talk about spirituality as having to do with that part of people that's not made up of parts. So I'm curious to hear what you've learned about that from being present with birth.
Yeah, I'd love to share that with you. I know that this topic, as you mentioned before, can bring up a lot of feelings. So as I speak about my experience and what I've witnessed, I invite you to be really present in your heart space and process some of those experiences and feelings that come up for you. And if you feel like sharing with me, I would love to hear a little bit about it later too. I think for me, being with birth, I watch as mamas face this tsunami of unknown before them, and then I watch them consciously walk right into the wave. I watch them weep and worry and trust and thrust themselves into warriors and ancestors before them. And I see them waver on the edge, and they ask if they can do it. And sometimes they tell me that they don't think that they can. But I invite them to dig really deep, because their bodies are temples and they have energy stored for occasions just like these. I watch their mind and their body and their spirit blossom into its highest self. And I know that birth is truly a spiritual experience.
As many people know, before I became a minister, I worked as a doula for a while. And in that work, I got to be present with births in a lot of different contexts, like a lot of different kinds of births. Some were at home, some at birth centers similar to Dara Luz, some were at hospitals, some were natural births, and some were births that ended up requiring intervention, sometimes even a cesarean. Some went according to plan and some didn't. Many were joyful, but some were also marked by sadness or grief or even trauma. But what I observed is that no matter how a baby is born, that process requires really digging deep to find like an inner reserve of strength, and it always is such a powerful demonstration of our capacity for transformation and resilience as human beings. Mm-hmm. I think that's true for the person giving birth, but also being born is a really big deal for the person who's being born. So here's my last question for you today, Olivia. What do you think of birth spiritually, or how do you see it for the person who's being born?
I think that's a lovely question, because I think sometimes we forget that they're on their own little journey, and it is quite the journey. I think maybe they've traveled between galaxies and universes to be here, and then they've had the work of turning from stardust to being. And the long, hard journey from moving from a water creature to a land creature, I think labor and birth require a lot of communication between the mother or the birthing person and their baby. And I always encourage them to talk to their baby and help them understand exactly what they want and need from them so that they can work symbiotically. I always like to say, once the babies are born, tell me your story. Tell me how your journey has been. I know it's so hard to be born. And they love to tell us about it. And they often surprise us too. But I am curious. What do you think the spiritual journey is like for these little people?
I love the way you just described it. I think that's so beautiful. And also your words about the babies surprising us make me think of how often we see a new baby and we think we're seeing an old soul. Right? Like they just know something.
Yes.
I also think of all the big transitions we make in our lives. And Bob alluded to this in his prayer earlier, in his meditation earlier, you know, from baby in arms to a toddler who's walking around, from a kid to an adult, from a young adult to an elder, and from life to death, we make all of these big transitions. And sometimes we get really scared and we wonder if we can do it or if we'll know how to do it. But I think that being born is the first of these lessons. When we arrive in these lifetimes, the way we arrive is our first lesson in how interdependent we are, but also that we are made for these transitions and for this growth.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Olivia, thank you again for saying yes and joining me here today to share your experience and your wisdom. You have a lot of wisdom.
Oh, thank you for having me and for sharing this space and for all of you guys being here today.
I'm so proud of you. And thank you to everybody for supporting the social justice mission of this church.
And speaking of the social justice mission of this church, our Change for the Future recipient this quarter is SAGE ABQ, which provides support for older LGBTQ people in the Albuquerque area, countering isolation, fear, and loneliness by creating a caring community of LGBTQ elders who will look out for each other. You may make your offering by clicking on the link posted in the chat, on the church website, or by sending a check to the church. Thank you all for exercising the enduring power of generosity. We will now gratefully receive the offering.
All of us are loved. Each of us is welcome. No one is a stranger. No one is an outcast. No one is alone. Everything we do, when our hearts are grateful and our lives are faithful, makes a better world, one that we can call everybody's home. Juntos por amor, cada quien precioso. Nadie es un extraño, nadie es invocado, nadie es sin calor. Cada paso fiel, con virtud y gozo, vamos construyendo un mundo mejor, lleno de calor, como una flor.
Generously given is received in gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque and on behalf of Sage Albuquerque. As we're approaching the end of our service, we invite you to stay and join in conversation in our breakout rooms. Just stay to the end of the credits and we'll set you up. And if you're in the breakout rooms or just talking around the kitchen table today, I want to suggest a seed of a question. Question is, what kind of messages about birth did you receive while you were growing up? What kind of messages about birth did you receive while you were growing up? And we'll put that question in the chat too.
Such an interesting question, Bob, and it makes me think also of the way absence of messaging is messaging, and we get something from that too. It's time to extinguish our chalices and candles. And as we do, may love bless you and keep you. May love protect you and bring you peace until we are gathered again. Go in peace, friends.